folks. Welcome back to DuckTales Tales, the podcast about race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. Really, it's a duck blur. I'm your host, Jeff, knower of all things DuckTales, and I am joined, as always, by...
John. I never really knew anything about DuckTales until this guy started making me watch it.
That's right, and we just sat down and watched Season 2, Episode 7, otherwise known as our 72nd episode of DuckTales Tales.
Man, we have been at this for a while.
Yeah, this is the start of Year 4, which is... impressive if you think about how there are only 100 episodes of this and it was only airing for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, getting through that first season was insane.
Yeah, the first season's a little nightmarish, but, you know, here we are in season two. We're getting there. We're pushing along.
Yeah, we're getting through this at a decent clip.
So we are watching Super DuckTales 2 Frozen Assets.
Yes.
Today. That's the full name of the title.
And, I mean... we teased it out last time that this was going to be one of the bigger episodes.
Yeah, this episode's definitely a big deal, but I mean, to true Duck fans, they were already going to know that because of the introduction in the previous episode of one accountant.
Yes.
A fellow by the name of none other than Fenton Crackshell.
Which, man, I'm not a big fan of the Fenton.
Yeah, well, you know, you were saying that in the last episode too, but this one's really going to kind of hammer that home. But before we get to that... we got a couple of show notes to do at the start of the episode. Same as always, I'd like to announce a couple of live tour dates.
Okay.
So if you're a big fan of DuckTales Tales and you want to come out and see us, we're going to be at the La Jolla Comedy Club April 23rd. That's, I believe, a Thursday night. I am not sure. April 23rd. We've got a 7 o'clock show, which unfortunately has already sold out, but we've opened up a second later show at 10 p.m. So if you're going to be in San Diego at that time, San Diego folks, come on out. Come see us, support DuckTales, laugh along with us.
Yep, it'll be a good time. Just, you know, come in, bring friends, whatever.
After that, we're going to be at the LA Podfest. Again, it's going to be a Thursday night, I believe, starting at 7 p.m. We'll be joined, as always, by the folks at the Goof Troop Podcast.
Yeah, our good friends over there.
Yeah, Lord knows. They seem to be, what, like 14, 15 times as successful as us? It makes no sense to me.
I know. Who even thought that Goof would be a big thing?
We did the wrong thing, is what I'm trying to get across here. The guys doing the Darkwing, they're doing amazing. I mean, shit, they were on At Midnight last week. How the fuck? What happened? What did we do wrong?
Who knows? Maybe we're just not talented.
It must just be us.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. So, again... LA Podfest, come out, support local podcasts, and support us especially. That's going to be the DuckTales Tales appearance there. And then we'll be in Austin after that, but we'll get to that in a few months when we get closer.
Yeah, once we have a few more details sorted out.
Yeah, next week in Iceland, same as always. All right, so let's get ahead and summarize that plot in 30 seconds. John, I'm giving you the clock. Go.
okay, so water, as we know, was taken to the Beagle Boys, got frozen, taken away.
What? Water was taken to the Beagle Boy. Oh, I'm sorry. You're summarizing the whole plot. Yeah, okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
Come on.
Oh, I'm on board.
You can't.
For some reason, I thought you were trying to discuss what happened in the first play, the episode prior, as if, like, Scrooge showed up with Launchpad and was like, all right, we have to take this water to the Beagle Boys.
Yeah, that would be something. But no. So, water's at the Beagle Boys. They get frozen.
Beagle Boys get frozen, right? Okay.
Yeah, well as the water. Water gets taken away.
Yeah.
Money chipped out. Money's back. We get a security robot. Security robot goes haywire. Then we get Gizmo Duck. Gizmo Duck sort of does something.
I'll take it. In 30 seconds or less, that was the plot.
There's the plot, 30 seconds or less.
Every episode, we do the plot in 30 seconds.
Man, this is... this is a difficult one to do in 30 seconds, though.
There's a lot of things going on. Usually there's a, you know, a lot of these episodes will have an A story and like half of a B story.
Yeah, it's usually like a main thing and then like one character's got something going on.
But this one's, the B story has its own B story.
Oh, yeah. You've got an entire story about the Beagles. You've got an entire story about the money. You've got...
They're really leaning hard in on that Fenton situation.
Well, yeah, they're leaning into the Fenton, and we're getting a whole lot of time with whatever his name is, Gearbox.
Gyro Gearloose, you're killing me.
Whatever.
You're killing me. We've seen him, I want to say, 30 times at this point.
Yeah, but whatever. I'm mostly interested in his inventions than him. Who cares?
His inventions are stupid.
Yeah, but I love them. It's the best part whenever he shows up.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about the inventions of Gyro Gearloose as of today. Just today's episode. I'm going to save you some trouble. What was he inventing other than robos? What did he have going on?
So we had the pancake flipper, or I believe like a flapjack maker.
Yeah, I think he called it a flapjack flipper. Said he needed it to have it ready by the weekend for SpatulaCon.
Which I'm going to go ahead and say I would go to SpatulaCon.
I just makes me wonder when this episode came out in relation to UHF. You know what I mean? Like, did UHF come out right before this? They were like, oh man, spatulas are funny again.
Spatula City, that's a great bit.
Ooh, we could take that bit and turn it into one line for Fenton. Wait, not Fenton, for Gyro.
Come on now.
Yeah, sorry, Fenton's just all up on my brain.
Oh, he is infected this episode.
Yeah, we've talked about this already, I'd say six times, because the seventh episode of the second season, but as listeners are going to know, and as we've discussed, the second season of DuckTales is just two movies. They made two 2.5 hour long movies. The first one, of course, you would know all about it because we've been raving about him for weeks, was the introduction and bringing back to the future of Bubba Duck.
Yeah.
So, and then the second one is the Gizmo Duck arc. And then after that, both those characters become series regulars, but these introductions were supposed to just be TV movies that were split up for syndication. So you get, because he's the brand new guy, he's the hotness of these episodes, you get a crap load of Fenton.
Oh, yeah, you do.
So,
and the problem with it being split up is, of course, last episode where he didn't even have anything. He was just annoying.
Just a bad accountant.
Yeah.
And you had never really watched DuckTales in the first place, but I know you played the video game, so you're familiar with the concept of Gizmo Duck.
Yes.
So, you know, he's just sort of, what do you know about Gizmo Duck, aside from what this episode introduced us to?
I mean, my general idea of Gizmo Duck, if you had told me, would have just been like, Duck Iron Man.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you're not going to forget that unicycle foot situation.
No.
That's something that everyone always remembers. But he's just sort of here's the things I would have remembered, because it's been years since I watched a Gizmo Duck episode, is he talks like this. You know, he's got kind of a hero presentation about him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only thing I knew about him before this episode, really, was it was a guy who had like a cyber thing, and I honestly didn't even know if it was like an Iron Man or a RoboCop situation going on.
Oh, like if he's like actually a cyber duck.
Yeah.
Like he can't take it off.
Yeah, I wasn't entirely sure. Because in the game, he just sort of comes out and is like, hey, I'm Gizmo Duck, and he blows some stuff
That's
up.
That's true. He's only in the moon level of the original video game.
Yeah.
We got to make that clear. The original video game, he's only in the moon level, and you need to eventually get to this one spot in the level where he'll show up and use rockets to blow open a door.
Yeah. So all I knew is I was like, okay, well, it's a Robo Duck guy with missiles.
Yeah, he has missiles, and he has one wheel instead of feet.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, okay, the things I remembered going into this was, you know, I knew about Blather and Blatherskite. I knew about Fenton Crackshell. I knew he was annoying, but that he pretends, here's the thing, he keeps who he is a secret from Scrooge.
Yeah, so, that was interesting that he was like, I'm going to be a completely secret identity.
Yeah, like I'm a new superhero. That's his whole thing. So I knew he spoke with that ridiculous superhero cadence.
Let me say, though, he is way less annoying with the superhero persona than he is as his regular accountant.
Oh, well, yeah, because I had forgotten about just Fenton as a character, and he is, oh my God, he is the worst thing since, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I didn't think I would ever say this. He might be worse than Doofus.
It's possible. The problem I have with him is, he is persistent in how much he wants to be in, like, every scene. Of course, because this was, like you say, like a movie.
This was the movie introduction.
He was going to be a main character, so his whole arc is going to be him being a main character. But, like, Goofus will show up in an episode and then be gone, or if he shows up in an episode, he's there a little bit.
I almost feel like I need to play a siren here, because you keep calling him Goofus every single time. His name's Doofus. Doofus Drake. It's all double D's
all the way down.
Yeah, it's double D Doofus Drake. Otherwise known as his superhero persona, Super Do!
I still hate that episode. It's still one of the worst ones ever.
God, it really was. The only thing about that episode that gave it any redeeming feature was straight-up aliens.
Oh, yeah. The confirmation of aliens in this show is great for me.
Yeah.
Because every time it happens, they're like, oh, an aliens. Anyway, we don't care.
Yeah, just some aliens. Although every time anyone pays attention to them, it turns out it's the Beagle Boys or something. But,
yeah.
But that one, no, it's just aliens running around
it's
trying to get
literal actual aliens.
Some sort of crystalline donut, I want to say. They had like a hemorrhoid pillow that gave you superpowers.
This crystal ring.
Yeah.
It was weird.
That's what it was. Yeah, pretty much. So this guy might be worse than the legendary doofus.
It's possible. The thing I noticed about him is, and this mostly because of this episode, was it is amazing how much this episode really leaned on the Amelia Bedelia factor, where everyone is, if I read or someone tells me something, I am going to take it at literal value.
That is...
We saw it in the last episode with the liquid assets thing.
Yeah, well, that's been like 60% of the humor throughout the course of the series, but it really is getting ramped up to 11 here.
It's really, like, Gyro and Fenton are two of the characters that are just Amelia Bedelia'd out.
No, they have no nuance whatsoever. I see what you're putting down.
Yeah, and so normally in an episode, you'll get, like, a character that does this, and that's the joke of it.
Yeah.
But having, like, both of them, plus the occasional Beagle Boy will do it, like, you have so many characters, but all of them are doing the same thing, that I'm like, man, it almost overloads on this episode.
Launchpad does it too, which leads me to wonder if Scrooge straight up just doesn't know how to hire people. Because you're
or
thinking,
if that's just a thing in the DuckTales universe.
Like, his chief scientist, his personal pilot, and now also his accountant, literally don't understand, like, human language, or duck language in this situation, because all three of them are like, he'll be like, you, I want you to go and get me a hamburger, and they'll do something else entirely. They'll, like, go get him Hamburg, Germany.
Yeah, it's just a strange thing. Like, in this one, like, last episode we had the liquid assets where he puts everything into the water.
Yeah, yeah, which was, what the hell was, I'm still so mad about that.
And then this one, he's talking about freezing assets, because he wants to then freeze the lake, which they do actually use.
Yeah.
But, man, the fact that he takes everything seriously, and then we also get the literal robot from Gyro.
Gyro invents a robot that will keep everyone away from Scrooge's money bin, including Scrooge and Gyro.
Yes.
I think the only thing that I was missing about that robot was it didn't destroy itself for being too close to the money bin. I think that would have been a great existential moment for the show. I believe that robot's name was, and I feel bad for even saying this, because Gizmo Duck, let's face it, is a classic name for the ages.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I'm going to say that's a great name. They did a good job on that.
They did a good job on that. The robot that they built first, the ED-209 of the Gizmo Duck universe, if you will, is GICU2.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, the GICU2. Hmm.
Yeah. GICU2.
XPDNC. Yay. Some letters sound like words.
Yeah, I did like the whole reference to essentially RoboCop with this ED-209 robot and Gizmo Duck being very RoboCop. I'm like, what kid was going to get this? No kid was watching RoboCop.
We're going to have to get into the anachronism corner in a bit here, because there's a lot of those in this episode, just like there always are. One of our routine running themes here, of course, is that the writers of the DuckTales universe had to be like 90.
Oh, yeah.
They had to be like, I swear, it's like they just found some like old-timey cowboys and were like, hey, you, write a cartoon about magic rich ducks. And they were like, okay, well, they're going to need a bunch of references to how refrigerators worked in the 1910s.
Yeah, it's very strange. Again, just stuff that's going to not only go over kids' heads, but I feel like even the parents at this time would have been like, wait, what?
Huh? Who?
Really?
So this is, I love this about Gyro. When he builds this robot for Scrooge, the guard robot that's going to guard the money bin, he intentionally builds it as an old van that turns into a robot.
Yes.
So there's, just so we can get a Scrooge line of, well, where's the great weapon? Is it behind that old van? You know, my Scrooge is terrible, as always.
Yeah, always.
But it's literally just there for the setup. The thing immediately turns into a robot at that point and never turns back into a van. Why did he decide that he needed to build it as a transformer? Was it just so he could get a ride out there?
I mean, I feel like, because he lives at basically just a junkyard, I feel like it was just, oh, this is what I had. This is the largest frame I had available
That's
to me.
What it was. He was, again, being expedient. He was just like, well, I've got an old van. Yeah. I'll turn that into a weapon of killing and mass destruction.
Exactly.
Okay, that bears out. So, okay, let's start with where this episode starts out. We get the opening scrawl about what happened last episode. Yeah. That the Beagle Boys, of course, managed to steal Scrooge's money bin by making the land it was on illegal for Scrooge to be on.
Well, yeah, they made it so that the new freeway was going to go right where the money bin is, so he had to move it.
So he had to move it, and in the meantime, he had to keep his money somewhere else. So, so fucking Fenton, who I'm not even done describing how annoying he is, dumps it all in the lake to liquidate his assets.
Yeah, oh, now you've got liquid assets.
There we go. So at the beginning of this episode, the Beagle Boys have determined that they can use a bomb to blow up a dam that's holding all of Scrooge's money in one place, and then some sandbags to divert the river to give their old dear Ma Beagle lakefront property that's full of money.
Yeah.
You know, that's honestly a really good Beagle Boy plot.
I mean, of all of the ones they have done, I was like, oh, you know what? You actually thought this through, and it worked.
And not only that, but, you know, other than blowing up the dam, which is presumably illegal, everything else they did in this whole plot was legal. If Scrooge takes all of his money and throws it in a lake outside...
Oh, yeah. At that point, I was like...
It's free money.
Yeah. It's free real estate.
Yeah. The whole thing. You want that money? You can go get it. He threw it in a fucking lake.
Yeah. I mean, it's nowhere that he owns.
Yeah.
He doesn't own the lake.
I mean, maybe he does. Well, we're talking about Scrooge.
It is Scrooge. He might own the lake.
He probably owns the lake, but... But still, it's, you know, once they get it out of that lake and just rolling down a river to their own property.
Yeah, man, possession is 9/10.
That is their, in fact, this episode features Scrooge stealing the Beagle Boys' well-earned money.
Well-stolen money.
Truly and well-stolen money. So, basically, it's, you know, it's the standard Beagle Boys. It's Burger and Big Time and Bruiser or whatever his, I always forget his name. But... The three of them and Ma Beagle, which here's a weird thing about this episode. We don't see Ma Beagle all the time.
No, she gets peppered in.
Yeah, she's a rarer character. In this one, she's back at their kind of Hatfield and McCoy inspired log cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
That the Beagle Boys live in. Probably just because they're old fashioned criminals.
Yeah.
And every time we see her, I'd say the first two out of the three times we see her in this, she's introduced with the same music that they play whenever, like, Webbigale is sad because the boys were being mean to her.
Well, the thing is, at least in this episode and, you know, the ones going forward at least,
mm-hmm.
because they were trying to steal the money as a birthday present for Ma Beagle.
Yes.
You get an odd level of...
Like sympathy.
Like, sincere... care out of the Beagle Boys. Like they actually love their mother.
Yeah.
Their ma makes them food that they really like and which shows care for them.
Which looks foul beyond recognition.
Oh yeah,
by
it's
the
just
way.
Green goop. It looks like something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, it looked like they were just eating like Popeye grade spinach. and she called it, I believe, Steakhouse Sirloin Slammer.
Yeah.
Or the
Slammer Sirloin
Steakhouse or something. Because
know.
Slammer wasn't described as the menu, the vehicle by which you get the food into your mouth.
Well, not yeah, like, it was like it shot. Was prison.
It's prison. It's Slammer. Yeah. It's Big House.
Yeah.
So, but it's, again, it is green ooze.
Yeah,
it's
just some green goop.
The idea that there's any steak in that is just horrifying to me.
But I mean, the fact that there's genuine care on the Beagle Boys makes it so that you're like, oh, I actually sort of care about if Ma Beagle gets a present or not.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, I want Ma Beagle to end this episode happy, I guess.
Like, I kind of am rooting for Ma Beagle, and yeah, it's weird.
I did not think that would happen to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still, like, rooting for her to drown a few of her kids. Burger Beagle needs to go. I mean, I've said it before, I'm saying it again right now, Burger Beagle needs to go. He is invariably just a detriment on their operation, he just needs to be gone.
Eh.
I'm just putting that out there.
Well, I mean, he's loyal, I'll give him that.
He's vaguely loyal, he's the one in this one who starts a fight with his mom in the middle of a getaway.
That is true.
I mean, he is a detriment to the operation. If anything, she's got like 30 goddamn Beagle kids, trade him out for one of the other ones for a while.
Yeah, they're probably in prison somewhere, so...
With variations on 1, 7, and 6 for their numbers.
Exactly.
Heck yes, they are. Well, anyway, they get all the lake money, and then Fenton shows up to apologize to Scrooge, who's using one of my favorite pieces of Duckburg scenery, which is or his mansion scenery, which is a statue with a tread that he can pace around in circles.
Yeah.
That he's managed to pace about a yard deep into the ground.
Uh-huh.
That's one of my favorite bits of Scroogery. I mean, nothing's ever going to stand up to the money bin.
No.
The money bin's the coolest thing in his entire mansion, but his pacing room is pretty great.
Yeah, the pacing pit now.
Yeah, the pacing pit. So, at this point, we get Huey, Dewey, and Louie to show up, and they're just like, "Ah, come on, Uncle Scrooge. Fenton was just trying his best," which tells me that these kids have been grown up entirely on a diet of other Disney Afternoon and Nicktoon shows, where they were like, this abject failure from a supposed professional. I mean, we're not just talking about a regular failure. We're talking like a cartoon-grade moronic failure.
Well, you also have to understand that they're in the DuckTales universe, which is full of doofuses, and, you know, launch pads and gyros and all of these people that just...
They've just been raised on a diet of cartoonish idiocy.
Yeah, just monumental cock-ups all the time.
They might as well have just said, "Ah, don't worry, Scrooge. You're Uncle Scrooge, so you'll be rich by the end of the episode."
It always works out. It's fine. You've got that duck privilege.
Get that duck privilege. Hey, don't worry, Uncle Scrooge. At least you're not a dog.
At least you're not one of those dirty dogs. Those
Duckworth just standing behind them. Yes, dogs.
Yeah, poor Duckworth.
I mean, granted, the racism never actually comes out of anyone's mouth during any single episode of DuckTales.
It's there.
It's implied. Dogs are service class citizens.
No, ever since, like, I first realized back, like, many episodes ago, the only dogs we see are servants and criminals. I was like, dude, what's going on here?
What happened? What year is it in Duckburg exactly? Pray tell.
Man, is there a different dog drinking fountain?
Like, literally, the only other dog I can think of off the top of my head is a villain in Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
He's that water dog. He's real weird looking because he looks way more doggy than the other dogs of the universe.
True.
That guy always creeps me out.
Nah, man, that Aqua Dog's great.
I mean, he's a great character, don't get me wrong. It's just that his look is like, ugh. This is a creepy dog. It's like he's more of a Pluto than he is a goof.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
an effect of being waterized.
Could be. Like, if you get enough water. Are you suggesting that Goof is like a gremlin?
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying.
Like a Mogwai? I'm saying
the dog people of this universe, if they get wet, turn into more dog.
Man, that would have made the Goofy movie real weird during the hot tub scene if that was true.
Don't worry. It's a dry hot tub.
Goof, your son's lying to you, Goof. Also, ruff, 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 bark, bark. Help, get me out of this water. Bark, bark, bark.
Bork, bork.
Oh, yeah, because you know Pete would probably turn into like some kind of bulldog or something.
Yeah.
He'd hit boof. Boof. Pete, goof. Boof.
Boof.
Hey, you boof. Oh, my gosh. I'm loving that. Remind me to add that to the Patreon bonus content. The Disney After Dark. All right, So let's do the HDL, shall we?
All right. Let's get into that Huey, Dewey, Louie Minute.
As always, HDL Corner is where we discuss if any of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, colloquially known as the Ooies, managed to distinguish themselves in any way or make it easy for viewers to identify which one's which.
Well, to start with, not really. Like you said, we've got one scene from them where they're, like, trying to defend Fenton.
Yeah, but it's the three of them standing there, and Lord knows which one's talking.
Yeah, so nothing there. But there's only one more scene with them doing anything really, and it's after they get the ice lake of money.
Which we haven't even talked about yet, where Fenton has Fenton doesn't have any ideas, really. He just kind of goes, "We'll freeze your assets next, Mr. McDuck!" And then he launches into yet another, like, just cavalcade of alliteration.
Yeah.
"It's a brilliant, blasted, blah, blah, blacker, blacker, durgit, blurgit." It's just, oh, I hate him. But anyway, Scrooge gets the idea of using giant fans and dry ice to freeze the lake and then steal the lake with a fleet of helicopters.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering how he's managing to do this when all of his money is frozen in that lake. How's he paying all this shit?
Dude, who's not going to give Scrooge McDuck credit?
Everyone, because he's a cheap bastard.
Why? He would pay. If someone went up to you and was like, I'm Scrooge McDuck, I would like a credit card, you're going to go, fuck yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's going to happen. But then you're going to find him disputing all the charges.
Huh.
Anyway, so setting that aside, he steals all of his money back in the form of a giant ice block. And then he makes Fenton use a, what do you call those, a power?
Jackhammers.
Jackhammer, thank you. He uses a jackhammer to blast it open to get nickels of it out at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at that point, we get to see him talking to individual nephews.
Yes, but only two of them are there.
Yeah, which is weird. He throws a nickel out to Dewey, who catches it and marks it down. And then Dewey passes it along to Louie.
Yeah, who's running it up to the new place where the money bin is.
Yeah, the money bin's now on a giant mountain outside of town.
Yeah.
That's a big plot point in the episode, because Scrooge gets mad because he can't see it.
Exactly. So, it's not out next to his house.
So we establish in this one that Dewey's a bit of a money nerd, and Louie is...
I guess the athletic one, since he's running it.
Yeah, I've always thought of him as kind of the nature-y one, but that might literally just be because his shirt is green.
Maybe. But we don't have a Huey in this scene, which means whatever's going on, he's off doing something.
Yeah, Huey is elsewhere. He's not there.
Now, so you could say he's inside the money bin.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, if you thought that Scrooge was going to let him in the money bin alone, then sure.
Yeah.
But he's somewhere.
He is somewhere else.
Yeah, so that's an important distinction. The absence of a nephew is almost as impressive as one of them getting a story on their own.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he was not included in this is interesting enough that it bears mentioning in the HDL.
It bears mentioning in the HDL, exactly. Where was Huey?
Yeah.
Who knows? And I think it's another thing that might bring up a different segment.
Without Huey, he was just on the DL. yeah.
Oh, man, without Hueys, we would have done even worse in Vietnam. Helicopter joke. All right, so I think that thing is, though, the absence of Huey bears in itself an additional question, or perhaps just a theory. I think he might have been off interacting with characters from other shows. And that's why it's time for the Continuity Corner. As you folks know, Continuity Corner is where we attempt to establish the web of connections all the way from Duckburg to Cape Suzette. We want to connect the intricate collection of characters that make up the entirety of the Disney afternoon and bring them together. And of course, we've already established some of the simpler stuff. I mean,
Doofus Drake, you got the last name Drake, like the neighbors from Darkwing Duck.
Yes, that's correct, yeah. So are they related? Who knows? That's in there. I mean, we've already established that the gummy bears all occurred in the distant past.
Yeah.
So that's easy enough. So the gummy bears occurred before any of this, and gummy bears themselves, as well as ogres, have long since gone extinct, along with humans.
Yeah.
Humans, so all
existed,
of that...
existed, but something happened.
Yeah, something happened, and we're talking, this is millions of years ago, because at a certain point, evolution took on its duck theme, which gave us things like Bubba Duck, which, of course, that was a major upset a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you...
cave
when you,
ducks.
Yeah, because you can't have a prehistoric setting like that in a Gummy Bears era, because you would have had to have essentially gone back to the Stone Age, so we're looking at a place that went far enough to destroy itself and then rebuild itself.
That's correct. It's kind of, we're now establishing that gummy bears basically took place on the Duckburg universe equivalent of like Atlantis or Mu.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, this is like a, or you could go with a Planet of the Apes thing like I had mentioned before.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the chance that gummy bears occurs in the hyper distant future.
True, but I feel like that would be weird.
So in this case, we're talking about how Huey went missing for what looked like a solid afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, it took
a while.
One
might say a solid Disney afternoon.
I think I might. So he went somewhere for several hours, because that's how long it took just to get up to that mountain where they were.
Yeah.
So where was Huey? Now, I like to think that he was off hanging out with good friends such as what's-her-face, the daughter of Darkwing Duck.
Oh.
Rosalind, I think.
Rosalind? Yes. Goslin?
Goslin, thank you. Goslin and, I believe, her good friend Honker Paddlefoot.
Yeah.
So... That's just my suspicion out there, that he's finally gotten tired of the other two Dewey and Louie for a little while, and he wanted to take off and hang out with other kids.
Now, maybe.
Granted, he might just be chilling with Doofus. I mean, he could just be hanging out with Doofus and Webigail, but Lord knows we haven't seen Webigail in forever. So,
and the we know in Darkwing's sort of timeline that Gizmo Duck is already established as a hero.
Yeah, and Launchpad has moved over. Basically, what we establish from Darkwing is that Darkwing takes place about 1 or 2 years after the DuckTales universe ends.
Yeah, which I think means age-wise, Huey would probably be a lot older than Goslin.
That's true. He would be a little too old. He could be babysitting for Goslin if they were in the same city, which unfortunately they are not.
No.
Darkwing Duck takes place in Duckopolis or, Duckthum, one of those.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I should have done my research on this, but as you know, I only research DuckTales.
Yeah, just meticulous DuckTales research.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, granted, at the time of Darkwing Duck, Quack Pack was probably happening. So they were off being slightly older teens with wacky feather hairstyles in suburbia somewhere with Daisy.
Yeah, that sounds probable along those lines. Because that would give them, age difference-wise, about where they should be.
Yes, it would line up appropriately. So that really just begs the question of where's the crossover between Quack Pack and Darkwing Duck? How come that never happened?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, all we get is the launch pad, but still. Yeah.
Launchpad, of course, we connect to Tailspin because his pilot uniform is reminiscent of the 1930s stylings of the characters of Tailspin.
Yes.
We think that he's one of the last survivors of the old guard of the Tailspin universe, sort of a romantic figure, just sort of obsessed with the golden age of aviation in the Duckburg world.
I would also posit that, as I've said before, I think that Launchpad and Baloo probably served together.
Oh, you think so? Because, I mean, we're talking, because Cape Suzette happened a long time ago. He could have been like one of Launchpad's commanding officers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like an old guard type.
Yeah.
I could see him doing that like on Launchpad's first official flight. He stepped into the ship like Bones getting onto the Enterprise D and be like, well, I think this ship will fly, it will. No green-blooded hobgoblins anyway. Goodbye, he'd say.
He would say he would.
I tells you, I says. So, yeah, I can see that. I feel like Launchpad has met Baloo.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. I mean,
I've got, of course, no backup for this.
There is no existing backup. There's no historical record. This is all theoretical, as always, on Continuity Corner.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back into the story. Once Fenton manages to unfreeze all the money, he goes to call Scrooge.
Yeah.
And this is just another dumb setup. Oh, Lord, is this dumb. Because he calls and says, well, hey there, Mr. McDuck. I hate Fenton's voice. I'm calling you now because your money bin's all full and you've got all your money. And he's like, well, all of it? Do you have all of it? All except this dime I used to call you. And at that point, as if Scrooge could just sense the script.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, he's like, oh, Fenton said something about a dime. Because he is the world's most colossal fuck-up, he has to have used my number one dime.
And of course, he's used Scrooge's number one dime to make a phone call.
Yeah.
From a payphone, which, how's it even going to take a dime that's that old? Huh. That dime's probably made out of zirconium and
that would Wolframite. Be weird.
It's the oldest dime in the world. Huh? It's made out of dinosaur teeth. So that starts up our primary Fenton mission throughout the course of this episode, which is to recover the Lucky Dime.
Yeah, which takes him...
What was the Lucky Dime even doing in the money bin? It's never in the money bin. Scrooge keeps it in his office.
Yeah, the fact that it was like, oh yeah, for some reason... Well, I guess... I mean, Fenton may have taken it out of the office and thrown it into the water when he went to liquidate the assets.
Yeah, that must have been. Although I feel like Scrooge would have noticed that immediately.
You would think that
would have been the core issue in this. It was him being like, if you do anything today, you are getting the number one dime back.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I really wanted to talk about with that scene is that when Fenton calls Scrooge is alone in his office looking out a window, and there is some, I want to say Cosby jazz playing. It was like either like a regular everyday scene on the Cosby Show or the beginning of Careless Whisper was happening quietly in the background.
Yeah, that is true.
I don't know what was going on with that. That wasn't very Duckburgian music, but just like a second, it was like in the background. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Is Scrooge getting ready for a sexual... Is this a Goldie episode? Is Glitter and Goldie going to make a reappearance? Because he's... That is some fornicating music is what that is.
We got some baby-making music here.
We do. We got some of that dirty sax.
But, yeah, I mean, it was highly noticeable just for how out of place it was in the scene.
Yeah.
But
it almost felt like when you're watching like old episodes of Daria or something, and you can tell where they've had to replace some licensed music with something because it was just that out of place. I mean, I can't imagine what would be playing in his office that would be. I guess it'd just be some like Scottish music. Maybe In a Big Country was playing behind him.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Calls him up In a Big Country, dreams stay with. Could you turn that down, Mr. McDuck? I can't quite. I can't quite make out what you. I'm not turning it down for you, Fenton. You're not of the Highlands.
You don't know.
Not like these fine fellows on the Proclaimers. All right, so that was a little weird. There was some light jazz, but anyway, yeah, that starts off the great tale of Fenton Quackshell trying to get this fucking dime back, which makes this episode feel like it's an hour and a half long instead of 22 minutes.
Yeah, we get a ton of Fenton at this point. Mostly him dealing with the Beagle Boys, because instead of trying to get the dime back from the actual phone that he has just used to call in, apparently in this world, the dime teleports directly to the phone company when you put it in a phone.
Well, that was a weird moment, wasn't it? Because his first idea is, I'll go to the phone company. He's like, okay, well, I put the money in this phone booth. Instead of like trying to rattle it loose or break the phone booth or something, he's like, well, I'll just go straight to the phone company. But the money's already there.
Yeah, and they've already given it to a security guard taking it to the bank.
Yeah, which like, is like, what? Why didn't he just wait by the telephone booth until that man showed up to collect it in the first place?
I know.
It's just a teleporting machine.
Yeah, it was a very weird moment for me.
It was also
I thought for certain we were going to get a scene where he like takes a bat to the phone or something.
Yeah. But it was some deeply lame jokes instead, because the secretary at the phone booth or the phone company talks like an operator.
Oh, yeah. She's just like, hello.
Please insert one dime to continue. And now transferring your call. Please hang up and try again. It's the only jokes we get from her.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing where, as a kid, I fucking loved DuckTales like crazy because I've forgotten all of those little moments.
And then we get him following the guard to the bank. He goes to the bank and wants to get a dime out of this bag of dimes that's just been given to them. But wouldn't you know it, the Beagle Boys are there robbing the bank, and the only thing they take is that bag of dimes.
I know, they just wanted one bag of dimes.
One bag of dimes, please. No other money, thank you.
Thank you, and goodbye. And they don't... Let's be clear here. They steal the bag of dimes, and then they stop by a mall to steal perfume for Ma Beagle.
Now, I would also like to state, for the record, when they go to stick up the bank, their one weapon is a, like, from a pirate ship cannon?
And it's like the front half of a cannon, too.
Yeah. What? You have a cannon as your only weapon?
And it's not even, like, on wheels or anything. It's just Big Time has half a cannon tucked under his arm.
And he's like, look, we're sticking up this bank. And you're like, what? You've got one shot, man.
Don't
waste opportunity.
It. To do everything you ever wanted. And it's probably rob a bank. But here's the thing that drives me nuts. This is, I mean, granted, it's just a character beat for the Beagle Boys in general, is they rob a bank, they get a huge bag of money, and then on the way home, they stop and rob a grocery or a mall to get some perfume.
Yes.
Even though, and again, I'm pointing this out, they have a huge bag of money.
Well, the problem is they have a bag of dimes.
Well, yeah, but they shouldn't have stolen a bag of dimes. That was just them being stupid. But still, that's currency. At this point, they could stop building heat. Like, you know, the Beagle Boys are at 2 stars right now.
Well, the Beagle Boys don't pay for things.
Well,
that's
what
them.
Do they want all this money for?
Well, at that point, I guess they just can retire from a life of crime.
I suppose. And
I feel like even if they had all of Scrooge's money, they'd still be stealing things.
No, literally, in this episode, they get all of Scrooge's money, and they just do what Scrooge does with it, which is go swimming in it.
Yeah.
So apparently that's just the ultimate experience in the Duckburg universe, is to frolic around in coins.
Yeah, which, I mean, I still think the fact that we know dollars exist, there is paper money in this universe.
It's visible in the show.
And yet, it's all coins. Like
that's just Scrooge. Scrooge is a coin. He's a He's a coin collector. He's a
coin fiend.
Yeah, he just loves himself some coins, especially gold coins, which are kind of not really a useful currency. Although we did establish in this episode that nickels in the Duckburg universe are gold.
Apparently.
Yeah, because when he flicks a nickel to Dewey so he can count it, a nickel turns out to be a gold
golden
coin.
It might have been bronze.
Yeah, but it was a golden colored coin that only had a little dollar sign on it.
Yeah.
At least on one of the faces. I mean, I was really looking forward to my chance to see a who's on dimes again. It's what's his face? It's like Grover Cleveland or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Dwight Eisenhower. Thank you. Why did you let me hang like that?
I don't know.
Why are you such a dick? God, I hate you. I can find someone who actually watched DuckTales. So anyway, Dwight D. Eisenhower. I'd love to see what he looks like as a duck.
Yeah, Duck D. Eisenhower.
Yeah, Dwight D. Duckenheimer.
Dwight Duck Eisenhower.
Dwight. The D stands for duck.
Yeah,
folks,
obviously.
The D stands for duck, okay? It's Duck Duck Eisenhower.
Yeah, that's my favorite game from my school days was Duck Duck Eisenhower.
I like Ike, too. I'm sorry, it's the Duckburg universe. I like Dyke.
Aw. So the whole thing with him, Fenton, trying to get this dime back from the Beagle Boys, man, it is a bunch of weird, stupid plans.
It's just a Daffy Duck cartoon. All I could think this whole time was, wait a minute, is Fenton literally just Daffy Duck, like a white Daffy Duck? Is that what this character is?
Almost feels that way.
Like so much worse than Daffy, because there's multiple Daffy cartoons where he just wants to get into someone's house.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of those where he's like, hey, Porky, let me in your house. I don't want to sleep outside because it's snowing or something.
Well, just excuses for costume bits.
Yes, and that's what this is with him, as he just sort of, first he just tries to walk into the house as a neighbor.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm your neighbor.
Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Can I borrow a big bag of dimes?
And then they toss him out after beating him up.
Yeah, and this was the last of one of the things I was counting throughout this episode, as I do with every episode, which is the number of jokes that start with either, now that's what I call, or talk about your...
Yeah, which... You know,
you get tired
several
of it.
In these.
You folks have been listening to us for 70-odd episodes now. You're used to these counters, but this one had three now that's what I calls. That's too many.
Too many.
Too many that's what I calls. We had that's what I call a cash flow. That's what I call frozen assets. And I forget the last one. It was something to do with fast food.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. We got talk about I think it was a rude interruption or something when Fenton gets beat up by these guys.
Yeah, which was just some of the talk about ones. I was like, that's not even a joke.
No,
it's like,
that's
talk about a guy I'm punching. I'm like, what?
Huh? That's talk about always seems like that's the way it's going to go. Some character, because you don't have to. The setup conveys the joke for you, and it carries you over the finish line whether you wanted it to or not. You can just basically be like, talk about a garage door closing. And people are going to be like, oh, that's a joke. Okay, I know that. Oh,
had a joke set up.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So he tries asking to borrow a big cup of dimes.
Doesn't work.
He tries pretending to be their long... This was actually a clever attempt
on his
part.
The most clever of the ones that he does, yes.
Yeah, it was, hello, I'm your long-lost brother, Bermuda Beagle.
Yeah, I've been lost in the Bermuda Triangle for the last 20 years, but I'm back.
I kind of, because the Ma Beagle was immediately like, I don't remember having a Bermuda Beagle. He should have been like, yeah, my original name was just like Bill, you know, but I've been in the Bermuda Triangle for 20 years, so the name kind of stuck.
Yeah.
I used to just be, you know, Bill Beagle. You know, I was a CPA. It's a pretty good cover because Fenton himself is ostensibly a CPA, but... Lord knows we haven't seen him do any of that.
No, all he has is that fucking brochure that tells him about what to do.
Yes, and advice from his mama.
Yeah.
Which, boy, that is... Oh, yeah, I just hate him.
He's got so many tics and none of them are good.
I just want to punch him. Yeah, he's talking about his mom's house, talking in alliteration.
He does alliteration. He does literal, advice from things.
Yes.
He does the, talking about his mother...
Mm-hmm.
And he also has just the most annoying voice.
Yeah, and a catchphrase.
The catchphrase.
Yeah, which I remembered very well, because, you know, Gizmo Duck was kind of a cool character, so he had that blatherin' blatherskites.
Yeah.
Was the catchphrase that activates him. And if you've ever wondered about that, blatherskite is like a, I want to say it's like a Norwegian term.
I guess.
Yeah, but anyway. Okay, so he tries those two things. They both times they just beat him up and send him outside.
He tries to come back as a vending machine that only takes dimes.
Yes, a vending machine with candy. Again, a fairly clever effort because Burger's in there.
Yeah, and Burger's like, great, this thing will give me food.
I need dimes, Mom. I need dimes. And then here's one of them old fart jokes. We also had an earlier one that we passed over because they pick up the ice with literally the ice tongs from, like, the cowboy days.
Well, back when you had an ice box, which maybe your grandparents still refer to the freezer as.
Yeah.
But it's, you would keep things frozen by getting a guy who came around with blocks of ice that he would take ice tongs and get a giant block of, put it in an ice box, and then you'd put your frozen goods in that box with that giant block of ice.
Yes. So in this move, they use a giant ice tong set to carry the ice around. And, you know, it's a fun joke reference because it's like, oh, look at that. They have a giant version of the tool you use to carry ice, except that no one's seen that tool in 200 years. I mean, yeah. I know it's not that long, but still. And then this one, the joke, Ma Beagle's joke of, this machine doesn't take dimes, Burger. It only takes slugs.
Which is using a dual reference to slugging, yeah, of punching him.
Punching, which is almost a dinosaur reference in and of itself.
But also, slugs as, I mean, what I always thought of as slugs were fake coins that you would use to get around paying.
They have construction uses too. A slug basically just refers to a cylinder, a small cylinder of metal.
Okay.
And for a long time, people would get hold of slugs and use them to dupe vending machines.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they were built for that purpose. They were built for other purposes. And then in certain cases, slugs were used like on purpose in closed circuit vending machine spaces, like for one arm bandits or like washing centers.
Or if you were at like a arcade, those coins you'd have to get that were proprietary for the machine.
But I know that because I'm as old as hell. The average, like, well, granted, I was the average 9-year-old in 1989, but still, I didn't know it then.
Yeah.
I would have been like, this machine takes punches, ha ha ha.
Or, why would this machine take slimy worms?
Yeah, this machine takes naked snails? I would have liked to just have her go, this machine needs to be drawn and quartered. And then just have it torn apart by horses that she had.
Yeah, and then Fenton would be dead.
And then it would just tear the machine off him. And he also tries showing up as the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, to trade a bag of teeth for the bag of dimes.
Yeah, I'll give you this bag of teeth for that bag. That was, I think, my favorite joke in the whole episode. Yeah. Was the attempting to trade a bag of teeth. Why does he have a bag of teeth?
You know what? I don't know, and I kind of don't want to know.
He probably got it from his mama, and I don't want to hear about it. But eventually, he shows up very, very beaten up at Gyro's junkyard.
And this is once they have built the replacement armor to take on the
GICU-2.
Yeah, the big robot.
So they built a robot out of a crusty old van, and now it's keeping Scrooge away from his money bin. So he tells Gyro to build a robot with a brain. Which Gyro interprets, thank God, he interprets as build a suit of armor.
And not go steal a brain from somewhere like fucking Frankenstein.
Or just go get brains.
Yeah.
He just builds the fucking van again and he's like, go get brains! And
then, he just comes back and he's like, I made you a brain golem.
It's all brains! Whole thing's made of brains! Well, can it beat the van up there? Oh, you should have told me that!
You just said you wanted a robot with brains.
This one's 100% brains!
He's there and sees that the armor is there, hears that it is immune to punches.
Yes, it is punch immune. So he's like, well, I've been getting all kinds of punches from these fucking bugle boys.
So I gotta take this armor so that I can go get that dime back.
I gotta get my dime. And he waits around while, this is a weird coincidence. This is a weird thing for me. Gyro knows Fenton already. They've met.
Yeah.
And Fenton has his dumb catchphrase, blatherin' blatherskites, which he says all the time.
Yes.
Scrooge gives Gyro the specific instructions to make it so that only one person can use this machine. Give it a passphrase so that people can't steal it.
And make it a word no one uses.
Yeah, some nonsense word, he says. Also, make sure it can guard me money. Which is weird because that's all the robot's supposed to do. So it's weird that he felt like he had to remind him again at the end of the robot's one purpose.
Yeah.
But anyway, so instead of coming up with like a nonsense word on his own, he goes to a dictionary and is like, well, what's a good word for nonsense? Oh, blatherskite.
Yeah.
And here's the weird thing is that Fenton is watching from the window, but he apparently misses this scene.
No, he doesn't hear that.
Yeah.
I believe he's too busy setting up the popcorn rocket.
Yeah, the popcorn.
That is going to get Gyro out of the house.
This whole episode is just full of these one-offs. They're like, what? Wait, okay, sure. Moving on.
Apparently,
nothing to see here.
He's got a firework that when it explodes, it has popcorn.
For which he also built a rocket that fires salt and butter for later.
Great.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just one-off jokes are basically the province of one Gyro Gearloose.
Yeah.
So he goes to the robot to program Blatherskite into it, and this was weird, because I've always wondered, you know, Gizmoduck's got 5 buttons on the front of him, and a little view screen.
Yeah.
It's not like he can see his own view screen, but, you know, he probably can see it in the heads-up display or whatever, but there's 5 big old multicolored buttons on him, like he's an old Walkman.
Ugh.
And I've always wondered what they were, and here we see them in use.
Man, when he programs in the word Blatherskite to be the word that's going to be used, he hits 3 buttons and goes, all right, Blatherskite, and just 3 buttons. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So of the 5 buttons on the machine, one of them is for the syllable blah, one of them is for the syllable thur, and one of them is for the syllable skite. And presumably the other 2 are just on and off buttons.
You'd think.
Yeah.
That or just other nonsense syllables.
I mean, there was a pretty solid chance that that password was going to be skite thur blah. I mean, it's just random coincidence that it wasn't Thurbusklite.
But it happened to be exactly what it needed to be.
Yep, and then basically Fenton sends off the popcorn rocket, gets in there, tries to steal the robot, can't, says blather and blatherskite in frustration, and then the robot sticks itself to him in a moment that I swear was straight out of Superman 3. He was like, no, get off me! I don't want to be a robot! Ah! And then he gets turned into a horrible robot against his will.
He gets that body horror moment.
Yeah, he gets a little body horror moment. He's like, whoa, this is not cool. And then he bluffs his way past Gyro by saying that he's the guy Scrooge hired.
Yep, and can't figure out how to even move forward, so Gyro gives him the instruction manual, which will be important.
It only shows up in this episode insofar as it gets... Oh, no, wait. He tries to fly with it. I forgot that. We're like halfway through this, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've got a lot of ground to cover.
Well, he then uses his thing to get the dime back from the Beagle Boys, which they take him on a merry chase.
Yeah,
whatever.
They try to escape in a car, and he goes chasing after them. And it does lead to my other favorite line from the episode, which is Ma Beagle yelling... As she drives her tiny jalopy full of Beagle Boys through a hotel... She yells, if you don't like how I'm driving, stay out of the hallway.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty great. But otherwise, she just sort of rolls around in their Keystone Cop jalopy while they're chased by Gyro, or sorry, by Gizmo.
Yeah, and the payoff that I assume will be coming is he loses the instruction manual in their car.
Yeah, because, you know, Greatest American Hero was going to come out next year, so we had to preempt that by a little bit. So yeah, he loses his instruction manual in their car, which you know is going to be a setup because this is the like third episode of a long movie.
Yes.
So
now the Beagle Boys have the instructions for his robot. So, you know.
Yeah.
We know that's going to be a thing.
By the way, I wanted to point out one of the dumbest Gyro moments in the history of the show, which is when he introduces the killer Transformer van robot. He goes, this thing's great. It doesn't even need its own remote control. Watch. And he throws the remote control near it and it blows it up. Like, the machine walks over and kills its own remote control, and Scrooge is like, well, turn it off. I can't! It blew up my remote!
Yeah.
You're fired. There has got to be a competent scientist somewhere in the world.
No, not like him.
Anyway, basically, Gizmoduck manages to outwit Burger Beagle.
Yes, to get the dimes.
Yeah, so if there was ever a Beagle Boy that needed outwitting...
Yep.
It was going to be Burger. He does it by having a clown hat fall on his head by happenstance, and Burger mistakes him for an ordering kiosk at a...
you know, back in the day when they had the, clown
head
heads
you talk
and
into.
Stuff.
Yeah, so Burger runs up to him and basically gives his order. His order being, if I remember correctly, it was 7 Silly Meals, 14 bags of Fun Fries, 23 root beer floats... And a Diet Cola.
Ah, yes. The Diet Coke. the punchline to every I'm ordering too much bad food.
Yes. Yeah, 7 silly meals, 14 fries, and a Diet Coke. Extra dip. Gonna have that cheese. Two number 45s. Honestly, the whole thing's making me hungry. And folks, listeners, if you're hungry, well, let me tell you, listeners, the fine folks at Crunch Crate are committed to organic goodness. That's why each month their tasters curate a box of healthy, delicious, and craveable snacks before delivering it to your door. Just listen to what's in this month's box.
We've got lime chili pistachio clusters, chocolate dipped sunflower seeds.
Oh, I love those.
Pomegranate almond maple potato pops, sesame bars.
It's just amazing. And everything in each Crunch Crate is healthy, organic, and GMO-free.
G-free, just like the Gizmo Duck logo, apparently.
Yes, just like Gizmo Duck, a hero who has a name that starts with G, that was invented by Gyro Gearloose, who apparently has an R on his chest.
Are there any R's in the Crunch Crate?
Oh, right, I guess we're on topic. Well, if the R stands for remarkable value, then absolutely.
Well, Crunch Crate subscriptions start at just $24 a month, but listeners of DuckTales Tales can get a special offer of a free crate right now. Just visit their website, crunchcrate.sn, and use our promo code, Scrooge.
I can tell you, I get this crate myself, and the wife loves it as much as I do. It makes packing for car trips and work lunches a breeze, and everything in there is just so natural and delicious. I'm personally a huge fan of the Sriracha Barbecue Kelp Chips.
And crates are now available in vegan, vegetarian, and kosher. Just remember, that's crunchcrate.sm, and use the promo code, Scrooge.
Now please, I really, really want to talk about that logo.
That logo is insane to me because it looks like a croissant and the Star Trek symbol got a baby.
Yeah, it looks like it kind of looks like if Star Trek had been founded by communist Russia or the USSR, because it's got a red crescent moon with like a rocket in front of it, but the rocket's also clearly a Star Trek communicator.
Yeah,
but it definitely, there's several things it is not. It is not a G.
No. It is.
There's no way it's a G. It looks exactly like an R.
Yeah, it looks exactly like an R. You might get a D out of that.
You could probably get to a D.
Because the crescent does get cut by the symbol, the Star Trek symbol. So, I mean, I could feel like maybe you could get duck out of it. And the other thing is, it also, if you were using an R, like, maybe it would be if the original name for him, instead of, like, Gizmo Duck, had been Rocket Duck, and they changed it at the last minute and just left the symbol?
Yeah, I thought for a second there that maybe they changed it to Gizmo Duck, like, it didn't test well, or that maybe the voice actors had a tough time saying it, or that his name was originally Robo Duck.
I mean, maybe, but then they were like, oh, Robo Duck, we might get in trouble for.
Yeah, like, it's too close to RoboCop, and the whole thing is too close to RoboCop. We can't call him Robo Duck.
Yeah.
But by then, the animation was done already.
Yeah, that's the and best so at that point, they're just changing what the, they just go do reshoots.
Yeah, honestly, if you had asked me before this episode to draw his logo, I would have just put a big old stylized D out, because that's what I thought it was. I didn't remember the R part of it. I thought it was just a D, like, it just generically stood for ducks. Like,
I honestly didn't even know he had a logo until I saw it in this.
He was just like, well, I built you the robot suit, and it's perfect for killing, like, those dastardly pigs we rarely have to deal with. There's only been, like, one pig in the whole season, or whole episode string, and we should kill him. But, you know, it isn't for killing dogs, though.
No.
No, dogs are, they make good butlers.
Yeah, they're good servant class.
They are. They know their place.
Except them uppity beagle boys.
Well, even they have a part to play in society, which should be robbing people who aren't Scrooge McDuck. You notice that, for example, they managed to rob that bank with, like, zero repercussions.
Oh, yeah. All the time that they rob things. It's like, hey, we just went and robbed this thing. Is that ever an issue? No.
No. It doesn't. Unless you rob from Scrooge, you're fine. He owns the police. That's all it is.
Yeah. The police are only worried about him, and yet they never really show up to do anything. Anytime it's like, the Beagle Boys took my money, he doesn't call the cops. He has someone build a robot.
Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, the cops aren't very useful in Duckburg. And second of all, it's because he's going to kill him. He doesn't want the cops involved. He'll let the streets handle his justice. Same way he always does.
Yeah.
The reason he owns the cops is because he's paid off the cops to stay away from the bloodshed.
Look the other way.
Yeah, look, I'm about to Scrooge this situation.
This situation is about to get McDucked.
Oh, boy, oh, we don't cross into that neighborhood. That's McDuck territory. We pretty much just stay outside of Duckburg.
Yep. So he gets the dime back, presents that to Scrooge. He's super happy about that, but he's still got to deal with the big robot.
Yeah, the big car robot, which is the cliffhanger of the episode. But that thing's a jalopy. I'm not that scared of it.
Well, he doesn't really know how to use his stuff.
Yeah.
He's lost his instruction manual, and he's an idiot to begin with.
Right. He has no memory, because he's already used it to fire midriff missiles, which was the grossest thing I've seen in a DuckTales episode in quite a while, where two panels opened up right about where his balls should be, and missiles came flying out.
Yep.
Midriff missiles.
And he just has a small confrontation where he's like, "Hey, robot," and then it immediately shoots a bunch of lasers and missiles, and he dives behind the bunker where Scrooge is.
And that's our big cliffhanger. That's the end of the episode.
Yep.
Yeah, so looking forward to next week when this train keeps a rolling. I'm not sure how I feel about these 5-part episodes. I got to be honest with you. I kind of want the story to be in and out. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I was like thrilled when I got to watch a 2-parter.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, if you were, you know, back in the day, I would assume if you were watching this as it came out,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, "Oh, I can't wait to see what happens with this. This is amazing." But I mean, at this point, I just look at it and I go, "Oh man, this is not a great place to end this."
No, it's not impressive. Like, I feel like that robot's going to be dispatched in the first 2 minutes of the episode. I mean, granted, I know it is because I've watched these. Next episode features the introduction of the worst Beagle Boy there has ever been, Megabyte Beagle.
What?
Megabyte Beagle.
Wow. Okay, no spoilers, man.
Sorry. I don't want to ruin it for you. I apologize, but I'm so mad.
Just so angry. Save that for the next episode,
fine.
Man. We got to have something to talk about.
Fine. Okay, well, then let's get into our last couple of segments. We got to burn through here. First of all, John, do you have a pick for the Doofus Award?
Well, obviously.
As always, the Doofus Award is the award that we hand out to whoever acted like the biggest goddamn fat little idiot on the entirety of the show. just a character you hate, you wonder why he's there.
Yep, and of course, this is going to, I assume, for the next 3 episodes as well, going to be going to Fenton. He got, as I said, he got better once he was in the suit. His superhero persona is at least mildly competent. Mildly.
Oh, not especially. It's just that he's indestructible, so, and he holds still more.
Yeah, he's, and the way that he talks
mm-hmm.
is less annoying than Fenton. Not just his tone of voice, but the words he uses are less ridiculous.
I just, episodes with him in them make me sad because I'm used to Scrooge being like this hyper-competent main character.
Yeah.
And, you know, Scrooge is all plucky and fearless, so every time things happen, he's like, "Oh, fuck you then!" And he just, like, gets his cane and goes in and starts beating ass. There's very rarely a scene where Scrooge hides behind anything.
Yeah.
But in these episodes, the episodes with Gizmo Duck, he's just a baby because he has to be. He has to be a background character.
Well, the other thing is Gizmo Duck makes everything about him. I mean, once Gizmo Duck is on the scene, it's not like you're going to be like, "Oh, and yeah, Scrooge is going to fight side by side with this guy," because it's just a superhero dude.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to approve of your decision to say that your Doofus Award is going to be heading out to one Fenton Quackshell.
Yes.
But I'm going to give mine this time to Burger Beagle, who I think that's just a running thing for me, is every time we ever mention Burger Beagle, he's always my doofus of the week. I hate him. I still think they should have just drowned him in a river. The moment they got out of prison the first time, they should have been like, "All right, Burger, let's go. Let me tell you about the rabbits, Burger. Here, follow me into this barn, Burger. There's burgers in there. There's so many burgers. There's burgers as far as the eye can see." He's like, "Oh boy, burgers.
Burgers enough at last.
I loves burgers." Just says quietly as the hands come around his neck. That's the way it should have been. He's just, every time their plans fail, it's because of Burger. Why don't they put it together?
We'll never know. But it's family.
Yeah, we'll never know. And it's family. So there you go. Those are the Doofus Award winners. I guess that just leaves us with Duck Blurbs. It's a Duck Blurbs. The favorite quotes from each one of our episodes. John, what would you say is your duck blurb this time?
I'm going to go with the, I can't remember. Fuck.
You doing all right? You want me to take mine in the meantime?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, all right. My favorite is definitely going to be Fenton Quackshell trying to trade teeth for money. I'll do you a special deal this one time. I'll trade you this bag of teeth for that bag of dimes. It was an absurdist moment that I thought was appreciative. Now, if I was picking a worst, it would be when Launchpad, in his very, very brief crash-free appearance in this episode,
yes,
he's just a competent helicopter pilot in this episode.
Yeah, with a bunch of faceless other helicopter pilots.
But when ordered to pick up the frozen money-filled lake, he responds, "Ice." Ice, Mr. McDuck, he says.
He says.
That tells you, Mabel. Ice. That's definitely going to be the worst one for me, and that's counting. That's waiting right past a lot of, now that's what I called.
Yes, it is.
To get to it.
Now, I'm actually going to say that associated with yours, the one right after it, where Big Time grabs him,
mm-hmm.
And he's like, "You should hold on to them teeth, because you're going to need them." And he goes to punch him. I was like, oh, that's clever. That's actually a clever joke where you didn't explain what the joke was.
Yeah, it was way better than the one from right before that when he tried to borrow the cup of sugar and they were like, "Well, we don't have sugar. All we've got is prison food, knuckle sandwiches."
Yeah, it was like a lot of the jokes that they had done during that series.
Like a
were
mile
terrible.
To get there. Yeah.
But the "you're going to need those teeth," I was like, that's a clever joke. Good job.
So there you go. We got a couple of clever jokes.
Yep.
Yeah, like, for example, there was another one, this is another worst for me, is when Gizmo Duck shows up at their backwoods rickety mansion, and they throw a bomb at him and it doesn't blow up, that Mob Eagle's like, "All right, who's late? We're late for the dog races." Dog races? And she says, as they jump in a jalopy and drive away. But what is she referencing in that situation?
That they are dogs running away.
Well, here's the thing I'm asking. Does that mean that there are also regular dogs in the DuckTales universe that they use for racing?
Well, I would have to assume it's just races. It's like track and field, but for dogs, because they have separate divisions.
They just call them dog races.
Yeah, the dog races is track and field if you're a dog, because it's clearly separate but equal.
See, I would have figured with her saying, "Who's ready for the dog races?" She was talking about the wet dogs and regular dogs that make up the universe. The two species, as it were, of dogs.
Yeah.
You got your goofs, and then you got your weird liquid Pluto men.
Yeah.
Those are the dog races.
There you go.
So there we go. That's your duck blurbs. All right, so John, did you have a final grade on this episode? Again, as we all know, the scale for the episode is it a ponytail, a cottontail, or in fact a ducktail?
This is going to be a cottontail.
Cotton, kind of middle of the road?
Yeah, I mean, it hops along. There's a decent enough idea behind it. As I say, I always love the inventions. Mm. I don't care if he does stupid literal things. The RoboCop reference was nice, but honestly, just Fenton drags it down.
Yeah,
without his character traits, this probably would have been a DuckTale for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Fenton is just like, as a kid, I fucking loved Gizmo Duck episodes. I would almost be sad when I turned on DuckTales coming home and like from school, and it wasn't a Gizmo Duck episode, which, you know, was like 90% of the episodes,
obviously.
But man, I can't stand him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just like everything else about this show is wine. He is definitely not wild. He's vinegar at this point.
Yeah.
He's turned.
He has not aged well.
So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say this is a cottontail of an episode. And then after that, I think we just have to go to show wrap-ups.
All right.
Okay. So, folks, as always, if you would like to support us here at the DuckTales Tales, we encourage you to do so. We have a Patreon. You're always welcome to visit it. If you do, you get access to our bonus episodes.
Oh, yeah. Our bonus content you can find behind that Patreon wall is our Disney After Dark Afternoon Tales.
Disney After Dark, which, of course, is erotic fan fiction featuring Disney Afternoon characters read expertly by both us and our voice actor friends.
Oh, yeah. We've got plenty of professionals coming in to do this, as well as our sultry tones.
Oh, yeah. You want to hear some Peg Pete? You got that happening. For all you gadget heads out there, man, we got a real doozy coming up in a couple of weeks where she, let's just say she builds some interesting equipment.
Yeah. So that is available for you if you want to support us on the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can get a hold of us through all of our various means. We're on the Twitter with DuckTales Tales.
Yeah, just follow DuckTales Tales and send us all your messages there.
And, you know, email us your questions, which let's get to those now.
Oh, that's right. We have a couple of questions from listeners this week. A rare event here at the DuckTales Tales. So let's go ahead. I've got question one. Dear Ducksman, this comes to us from Alan R. He says, Dear Ducksman, put yourself in the DuckTales universe. Do you see yourself as ducks or perhaps as one of the rarer species that populate Duckburg and elsewhere, such as pigs, dogs, or various other birds? Like, for example, I don't think Gyro is a duck.
No, he kind of looks, I want to say, like maybe pigeony or a quail?
Yeah, well, he's got, the beak always tells me he's a parrot, but the color's wrong. In fact, I'm going to go out right now and say that Gyro Gearloose is a cockatoo.
Okay.
So, all right, do you think those differences between the races mean anything? And that's from Alan R. It says, Duckfully yours.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, in this episode, we've been talking a lot about the dogs. The pigs...
Pigs are jerks. That's just sort of what they are here.
Yeah. I feel like I remember a few of the episodes where we saw them and they were a little more upper crusty as well, a little snobbish.
Yeah, they occasionally have like rich pigs, but they're always jerks is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Pigs are jerks. I mean, birds are jerks too, but pigs are jerks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's
I mean, I would I'd say I'd probably be a goose.
Yeah,
I want to say.
Like a Gladstone Gander, for example?
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like I would definitely be in that duck range, but I would probably be duck adjacent.
Duck adjacent.
Yeah.
I'd like to be one of the wrong... I'd like to be a mallard or something, like the wrong color of duck. You know, like, oh, it's one of those green ducks. Ooh.
Oh, you want to be one of them weird ducks. You want to be like a Magicka to spell?
Well, Magicka's still a white duck. Like, every duck in this universe is like white feathers. What happened to, like, the green and... black ducks and stuff. What's going on?
I don't know, man. I think that would be detracting from the fact that most of the other races are just, instead of different colors, it's different literal races of things.
That is true. That makes sense to me. All right. So there you go. I guess in my case, I'd still, I don't know. Maybe one of the dogs? I like the dogs.
Yeah,
I'd be a goof. I mean, granted, the real question here is, are you saying just the Duckburg universe, or are we opening it up? Because at that point, you got to deal with, like, bears.
Well, I mean, if we just go...
snake people.
If we just go Duckburg, then...
It's pigs, dogs, and birds.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really not much else in the Duckburg universe.
No, we don't really see anything else.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, if you open it up, then even if we're just staying to the universe of Duckburg, then you've got to deal with all the stuff from Darkwing. And Darkwing's got a bull man... I believe there's a
mole. You got a rat?
There's a rat, yeah. So there's a few new openings that pop up just as a result of that. So I'm going to say a rat man, just like the electro rat guy.
I'm the rat man.
Ba-da-ba-bwee-ba-ba-ba-da-book.
If the rat man can do it, so can you.
That song has that bit at the end where, have you ever actually listened to it with the verses?
No.
And he's like, because the things that you call dead are just waiting to be born. I'm the scat man. It's like, what? What are you doing? That is
some weird Lovecraftian shit
some
you've done there.
Street poetry happening at the end of this.
Because that, in strange eons, that which is dead may also die.
Krithwe Ralia Fatagan. That'd be pretty great if that was his scat.
If the scat man can summon Cthulhu, so can you.
All right. So next question comes to us from a Vadragon. How do you pronounce that? I don't even...
Vadragan?
Vadragan, and he says, Dear Jeff and John, I assume people as steeped as yourselves in all things duck culture have already seen the trailer for the Disney XD reboot of DuckTales. Yeah, we have. What did you think? Do you think it's a mystery, or will they rewrite history?
Well, I mean, I was fairly positive on it.
No.
You're taking a hardline stance on this?
Man, fuck them for thinking that they can replace the original Scrooge McDuck with Doctor Who Gives a Shit. The original Scrooge McDuck was voiced by Mr. Fucking Ed.
Man, I mean, I'll wait and see. I'll give it a chance. I mean, honestly, I'm not... I've never been huge. Obviously, I didn't watch DuckTales when it was first out.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, you know, I've come around a bit, but it's still not amazing. I'll be willing to see if they do something interesting with
it. I'm just scared of the Webigail situation, because they have Webigail's got like one line in the thing, and she is either Kristen Schaal or a Kristen Schaal type.
Kristen Schaal alike.
Yeah, she's a Kristen Schaal-esque character, and I'm a little worried about what they're going to do with... I mean, here's Webigail in the original series. Of course, we know her. She's not sarcastic and annoying. She's annoying. She's just not sarcastic.
Yeah.
She just speaks like a baby and she kisses animals. Done. And every story that has her in it, she solves by just being nice to people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to pull that off. Maybe they won't.
Maybe.
But anyway, I'm taking a hard line against David Tennant. I don't care.
All right. Fine,
yeah,
man.
Fuck it. I'm mad. All right. So there you go. Next question. Dear Duck Watch, 2 weeks ago, you actually made a mention of Quack Pack. Hey, we did that again this week. The ill-fated third show in the DuckTales universe. Will you ever cover that show for real? Please, 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 Rebecca.
Man.
Man, John, you know, you don't even know anything about DuckTales. What do you know about Quack Pack? Do you know anything about Quack Pack?
I vaguely remember it existing. I mean, I never really got into any of the duck things. I only because they, you know, we started a friendship with the Darkwing podcast. Have I even watched or listened to anything with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I mean, for me, I basically know it existed, but I know nothing else.
Yeah. So here's the basics of the Quack Pack. It's set 2 or 3 years after the events of DuckTales. The three nephews go back to live with Donald again, who has come out of the Navy. And he's going from place to place trying to get a new job. So a lot of it's him moving around trying to find jobs. They're living with Daisy Duck, who Donald has... I don't know if they're married or... I don't remember that part, what their connection is. They might just be dating again. But they turned Daisy Duck into a modern 90s woman, which, thank God, because it gets some pants on her. But they gave her a can-I-speak-to-your-manager-style haircut made entirely out of feathers, and they've differentiated the nephews. They're still wearing red, green, blue, but they're different cut like styles. Like, one of them's got an open flannel, one of them's wearing a long sleeve, and they all have different haircuts.
Huh.
So they've become differentiated and also kind of disaffected teens. It's interesting because at this point in their life, they're starting to get bigger, and now they're all forced to share a tiny room instead of living in a giant fuck-off mansion.
Well, I mean, from what it sounds like, you've got three kids living with a deadbeat dad.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, sometimes he goes back in the backyard, and he talks to his dog neighbor, who you can only see the top half of his face. He's all, "Hidley ho there, Donald." Ooh, says Donald for some reason.
For some reason.
Who knows?
Who knows?
So there you go. That's I don't know. Will we cover Quack Pack? Well... I mean, let's be realistic here. There's only 27 more episodes of DuckTales that we can even cover. And then, you know, at that point, I'm sure we'll do the movie.
Yeah, probably.
So it maybe split the movie up, but we got to keep this rolling. We're having too much fun. So Quack Pack is a very strong possibility.
Yeah, I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll quack that pack when it comes along. It's either that or fucking bonkers.
Oh, God, no.
No, we might have to cover Bonkers. You don't want to cover Bonkers? Because I might drag you into Bonkers.
Do not try and drag me into Bonkers.
Oh, there's only like 15 episodes of Bonkers. It can't be that bad. Come on.
Oh, it's that bad.
You want to watch the Bonk? You want to do the Bonkcast with me?
I really don't. If we're doing the Bonkcast, I'm doing the TurboGrafx-16 game.
Well, we've already done several episodes of the Bonkcast on Patreon's The Disney After Dark. So that's already happened. That bridge has been crossed. Mostly because if I remember correctly, Bonkers has a hot woman friend, like coworker.
Yeah.
Like his fellow cop is just a sexy human.
Okay.
I think her name's like Deborah or something too. It's real weird.
Very strange.
Yeah. So, all right, folks, that's the last of the questions we have for you this week. As always, you can support us on our Patreon. You can talk to us on Twitter. We are DuckTalesTales.
Yep. So thank you so much. We will see you next time with the continuation of this storyline.
Yeah, we sure will. The third episode of the second movie that makes up the second season.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. And as always, danger lurks behind you.